From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, creating options, outcomes, and opportunities for Kansas and the world. Information about KU programs and research is at ku.edu.
It's 80 degrees in Topeka, 80 degrees in Lawrence, 83 in Manhattan. The time is 6:06. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate you taking the time this evening. Coming back at you in about 12 minutes with an update of news headlines. Before we get to 7 o'clock, the Pope has spoken out again about war and peace. This is just part of sort of a back and forth with various members of the Trump administration, including President Trump, about the issue of just war. It's been quite the war of words, and we will discuss what we can gather from this with our religion reporter, Jason DeRose. Also, get you the details on Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s testimony before Capitol Hill today. That's all coming up on Kansas Public Radio. Hope you'll stay tuned.
Support for KPR comes from the KC Civic Orchestra presenting Musical Paradise, featuring UMKC choirs and Village Presbyterian Chorus, April 26th at 3 p.m. at Hellsburg Hall. Open to the public. More at kccivic.org.
Later tonight on your KPR One stations, we have a Classics Live show with the Topeka Symphony. Special guest artist, pianist John Nakamatsu. We'll hear some Rachmaninoff tonight, always a crowd pleaser. Also, the Pines of Rome. It's all coming your way at 7 o'clock tonight on your KPR One stations.
Support for KPR comes from Meadowlark Wine Bar and Kitchen, located at 1011 Massachusetts Street, offering a curated selection of traditional and natural wines, handcrafted cocktails, and a variety of shareable plates and entrees. More at meadowlarkwinebar.com.
It's 80 degrees in Lawrence, 83 in Manhattan. It's 6:20.
Support for listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
I sat down with New York City Mayor Zohran Mamdani just after he marked his first 100 days in office. He listed the many things he's delivering on: universal child care, speeding up buses, going after bad landlords.
It shows people that the very things they were told they would be wrong to believe in are in fact the ones that we can deliver on.
Listen to our conversation, including on his relationship with the president, tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
5 to 9 a.m. Morning Edition. You'll hear it on your KPR stations. Matthew Algio will have your local news.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on KC Farm School in Kansas City, Kansas, offering education programs including school field trips, summer camps, paid apprenticeships, and volunteer opportunities. Details at kcfarmschool.org.
News headlines are up next. It's 80 degrees in Lawrence, 83 in Atchison, 78 in Chanute. It's 6:30.
Horrible news for the family. Certainly a traumatic event for those children to live through.
Davis said the department's Victim Services Division is working with the children. Multiple Virginia politicians expressed their heartbreak in statements. State House Speaker Don Scott called it an unspeakable tragedy. For NPR News, I'm Megan Pauley in Richmond, Virginia.
On Wall Street today, stocks finished higher across the board. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Kansas and more than 30 other states won an antitrust lawsuit against the ticket-selling giant Ticketmaster this week. Jurors found that Ticketmaster held a monopoly over the industry, overcharged consumers, and stifled competition. The hope for states suing is that antitrust lawsuits will bring the cost of tickets down. After the decision, Live Nation Entertainment announced their intention to appeal. Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach says the case is a big win.
We got an astoundingly sweeping verdict, and that's a very good thing for consumers.
Kobach compares the case to the 1984 Bell telephone monopoly case, which broke up the company into seven different companies. A breakup of Ticketmaster is possible with this verdict, but it's not guaranteed. The proposed budget for the U.S. Department of Agriculture from the White House is raising concerns from some in the Midwest and Great Plains. The White House is hoping to cut USDA spending by nearly $5 billion next fiscal year. That would be a 19% decrease. One of the suggested cuts is to zero out funding for a program that provides loans and grants to rural businesses with fewer than 10 employees. Kaylee Olson of the Center for Rural Affairs in Nebraska says the proposal to eliminate the program is disheartening.
Coming from an administration who claims to care deeply about rural communities, eliminating programs that are set up to give them opportunity in the future is discouraging.
Both the U.S. Senate and U.S. House have yet to release their suggested budgets for the fiscal year that will begin in October. The forecast for northeast and east central Kansas, mostly clear skies through this evening, mostly cloudy through the overnight hours, lows in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, we are expecting storms. It'll start out partly sunny, a 90% chance of showers and storms in the afternoon. Some could be severe. Locally heavy rainfall is possible in the afternoon as well. We're expecting a high in the lower 80s, but with temperatures falling into the lower 70s as the front passes through. Tomorrow night, an 80% chance of showers and storms, with a low in the upper 30s. This is KPR.
Support for NPR comes from this.
Listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
It's a blues party, Kansas City style, this week on Live at Green Lady Lounge, when we hear Mike Bourne and KC Boogie. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Join me live at the Green Lady Lounge, Saturday, 6 p.m. on KPR.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 99.5 FM in Manhattan, lots of other frequencies as well, all listed for you at our website, kansaspublicradio.org. Lots to see there. We have video from our live performance studio. We have longer versions of some of the stories you may have heard on KPR. You can become a member when you click the word support in the top row of tabs. Check it out when you have a moment. Lots to see and lots to do at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Theodore Lawrence, presenting Dial M for Murder, a noir-inspired suspenseful thriller, showing April 17th through the 18th and 23rd through the 26th. Ticket information and more at theaterlawrence.com.
A bit more All Things Considered yet to come. We are with you till 7 o'clock, at which point on your KPR1 stations you will hear Classics Live, followed by an hour of classical music with Kay McIntyre, followed in turn by Jazz in the Night. If you're joining us on KPR2, up next we have Prairie Journal.
Support for KPR comes from Security Benefit, providing Kansas teachers and educators nationwide with retirement plans and investment options, and funding the Kansas Teacher of the Year program. More information at securitybenefit.com.
It's 10 minutes before 7 o'clock.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from Fisher Investments. As a fiduciary, Fisher Investments is obligated to act in their clients' interest. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss. From the Lodestar Foundation, inspired by the maxim that helping someone else less fortunate is a path to a happier, healthier, and more meaningful life. Learn more at lodestarfoundation.org. From Luminescence Foundation. Luminescence Foundation is dedicated to shedding light on neurological research focused on Alzheimer's and Parkinson's diseases and supporting land conservation initiatives. And from listeners like you who donate to this NPR station.
New York City's mayor, Zohran Mamdani, took office more than 100 days ago, so we sat down with him at City Hall to check in. That conversation tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations for Morning Edition, a great way to get caught up on all the news from overnight and a whole lot more.
Support for KPR comes from Working with Dreams, Andrew Sherwood, PhD, Jungian analyst, assisting those undertaking the path of individuation through dream interpretation and the analytical psychology of Carl Jung. More at workingwithdreams.com.
Thanks so much for joining us this evening. Up next, we have Classics Live. Music from the Topeka Symphony and a real crowd pleaser tonight, Rachmaninoff's Second Piano Concerto. That will be followed by an hour of classical music with Kay McIntyre. Then we shift gears and it's Jazz in the Night with music from the Vinyl Vault. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org. Or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Pines Garden and Market, offering porch pots, planters, hanging baskets, and flowers to celebrate mothers across the KPR listening area. Open daily in North Lawrence. More at pinesgardenmarket.com/KPR.
Mostly cloudy skies overnight tonight with a low in the mid-60s. 90% chance of showers and storms tomorrow. Some could be severe. It's 7:01.
Welcome to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Cordelia Brown, and we're in White Concert Hall at Washburn University in Topeka. This is a Topeka Symphony concert directed by Kyle Wiley Pickett from their NOMO, FOMO series. No more fear of missing out. Experience. We'll travel the pines of Rome soon, but first, we start with the great Sergei Rachmaninoff and his masterpiece Second Piano Concerto, with special guest soloist, John Nakamatsu.
Thank you.
fine pianist, a special guest soloist, John Nakamatsu. Now in his third decade of touring the world playing concerts, the American pianist John Nakamatsu brought home the gold from the 1997 Van Cliburn International Piano Competition. Kyle Wiley-Pickett directed the Topeka Symphony Orchestra in that incredible performance of the Piano Concerto No. 2 by Sergei Rachmaninoff. The piano's being moved back towards the percussion section now here at White Concert Hall, so their orchestra pianist, Regina Tanujaya, can set up part of the great crescendo at the end of Respighi's Pines of Rome that depicts the ancient soldiers marching along the Roman highway in the pines of the Appian Way. Respighi's Pines of Rome begins with us being dropped into the middle of a playground teeming with kids playing in the pines of the Villa Borghese. That cuts out as we enter the pines near a catacomb. Then listen for the nightingale singing to a clear in the pines of the Ianiculum Hill. And now the Pines of Rome, played by the Topeka Symphony Orchestra. A mighty piece of music ending with a vision of past glories. Trumpets blaring, with the piano and the percussion beating out the rhythm of innumerable steps in a tragic country guarded by solitary pines, the pines of the Appian Way. We just heard the complete tone poem describing the Pines of Rome, written in 1924 by Italian composer Ottorino Respighi. And this concludes this concert directed by Kyle Wiley Pickett. KPR recorded the concert so we could bring it to you in this program called Classics Live. KPR's Chuck Smith was the recording engineer, and I'm Cordelia Brown. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. You are listening to Kansas Public Radio. Thanks for being here, everyone. Support for Classics Live on KPR comes from Low Maintenance Landscape. Designing long-lasting landscapes with native plants that thrive in this area and require less maintenance. Project portfolio, plant library, and contact information at lowmaintenancelandscape.net. This is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas. It's your place to find classical music and NPR news. We are KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. You can listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. President Trump says peace talks between the U.S. and Iran could take place in the coming days.
Iran wants to make a deal, and we're dealing very nicely with them. We've got to have no nuclear weapons. If we do, that's a big factor. And they're willing to do things today that they weren't willing to do 2 months ago.
Speaking there at the White House before he headed to Las Vegas for an economic roundtable, Trump says if it does happen, he might travel to Pakistan. That country has served as a mediator in the talks. Meanwhile, Israel and Lebanon have agreed to a 10-day ceasefire that's now underway. The two countries held their first diplomatic talks in decades after more than a month of war between Israel and the Iranian-backed Hezbollah militant group, which wasn't part of the talks. Israel's attacks have hit civilian areas, displacing around 1 million people in Beirut. This after Iran said the Israeli strikes on Lebanon have to stop as part of any longer-term peace deal with the U.S. After a months-long search, President Trump has selected a former military physician to serve as director of the CDC. NPR's Ping Wong reports she has a long list of credentials.
Dr. Erica Schwartz has served as chief medical officer for the Coast Guard and as deputy surgeon general in the first Trump administration. She's a preventive medicine doctor and lawyer with a master's in public health from the Uniformed Services University. Admiral Brett Giroir worked closely with her as assistant secretary for health in the first Trump administration.
Her academic training and intellect is second to none. I mean, she's a person of the highest integrity and commitment to service to this country.
Schwartz will now go through the Senate confirmation process, which could take several months. In the meantime, Dr. Jay Bhattacharya will continue to lead both the CDC and the National Institutes of Health. Ping Huang, NPR News.
Uncertainty around natural disasters and immigration policy is causing uncertainty in the housing market. That's according to a new report from Oxford Economics that revised down the number of needed houses due to a drop in net migration. NPR's Stephen Basaha has more.
Long term, there's uncertainty around how many homes will need replacing due to extreme weather events. Oxford Economics' Nancy Vandenhouten also says declining U.S. birth rates mean immigration policy will also play a role.
I mean, if immigrants are going to make up a larger share of the population and there's more uncertainty about how many immigrants we're going to have, that creates more uncertainty for our forecasts for the amount of needed housing.
There's also short-term uncertainty due to the war with Iran driving up borrowing costs. The National Association of Home Builders Index on Voter Sentiment is the most pessimistic it's been in 7 months. Stephen Basaha, NPR News.
Wall Street higher by the closing bell. The Dow was up 115 points, the Nasdaq up 86. You're listening to NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, supporting books, radio, podcasts, film, television, theater, and more to bridge science and the humanities. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate, April 16th. Every time that two or more planets congregate in the night sky, fearmongers crank up the volume on their predictions of doom. They say the combined gravity of the planets will cause everything from earthquakes and storms to boils and hangnails. Don't listen to them. All of the planets are so small or so far away that their short-term effects on Earth are negligible. Jupiter, the largest and heaviest planet in the solar system, is only 0.1% as massive as the Sun. And on average, it's about 5 times farther. When combined, those numbers tell us that Jupiter's gravitational tug on Earth is just 1/25,000th as strong as the Sun's. The pull of the other planets is even weaker. So even if you lined up all of the planets in the same direction from Earth, their combined pull would be insignificant. That's not the case on longer terms, though. The gravity of Jupiter and Venus changed the shape of Earth's orbit and the planets tilt on its axis. Mars may play a role as well. That influence creates cycles of warmer and colder climate. But the cycles play out over tens of thousands of years or longer, not over days, weeks, or even centuries. Planetary alignments are common. In fact, there's one right now. Mars, Saturn, and Mercury are close together in the dawn twilight, but they're so low in the sky that they're tough to see. We'll have more about their alignment tomorrow. And you can find out more about the planets in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. For the University of Texas McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
That's You Are My Heart's Delight by Franz Lehár. The aria from his operetta Land of Smiles, performed by the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, Julian Lloyd Webber on cello. From the University of Kansas, we're Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence and 91.3 Olsburg, Junction City. We're online at kansaspublicradio.org. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Maselli's, now hosting events from 25 to 400 at an expanded downtown Lawrence location, offering both full-service wedding event planning and hosting, as well as catering to weddings off-site. Venue information online at maselli's.com. Now, six characteristic pictures by Russian composer Anton Rubinstein. He was considered one of the greatest pianists of his time. Performed here by Yara Tal and Andreas Grotheisen. It's Four Hands Piano on Kansas Public Radio. Thank you. Four Hands Piano on Kansas Public Radio. That was Six Characteristic Pictures by Russian composer Anton Rubinstein, performed by Yara Tal and Andreas Grothuysen. From the University of Kansas, we're 91.5 Lawrence and 89.7 Emporia. You can find us online at kansaspublicradio.org. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Emporia State University Choirs, presenting She Sings, a Women in Music Festival, Saturday, May 2nd at Beach Music Hall in Emporia. Details at emporia.link/she-sings. If you are 70 and a half years or older, consider making a qualified charitable distribution from your IRA. It's a powerful way to make a lasting impact on the station you love. Find out more about charitable giving at kansaspublicradio.org under the Support tab. And now a gorgeous oboe concerto by Vivaldi. It's the London Chamber Orchestra, Christopher Warren Green conducting on Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
That's Vivaldi's Oboe Concerto in C on Kansas Public Radio. The London Chamber Orchestra, under the direction of Christopher Warren Green. They say Vivaldi wrote the same concerto hundreds of times, which is not really fair, but that oboe concerto does share a first movement with a bassoon concerto and another oboe concerto. I'm Kay McIntyre, glad to be with you on this Thursday evening for classical music on Kansas Public Radio. We're 91.5 Lawrence and 91.3 Olsburg Junction City. You can find us online at kansaspublicradio.org. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the University Press of Kansas, a nonprofit publisher of scholarly and regional books serving readers in the Midwest and beyond. Information on University Press publications at kansaspress.ku.edu. Coming up at the top of the hour, it's the latest news from NPR, and then we've got jazz with Bob McWilliams. But we'll finish out the hour with Johann Strauss II, his Künstlerleben, Artist's Life. He originally wrote this as a choral piece for a carnival ball for a men's choral society in Vienna. Here it's performed by the London Philharmonic Orchestra on Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
Artist's Life by Johann Strauss II, performed by the London Philharmonic Orchestra on Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find classical music and NPR news, Kansas Public Radio. We're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Or check out the KPR app and take us with you everywhere you go.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. A 10-day ceasefire between Israel and Lebanon, and announced by President Trump, is now in effect. This after Iran said it wouldn't engage in further ceasefire talks with the U.S. unless a ceasefire between those two countries was in place. It was their first direct diplomatic talks in decades, though the Iranian-backed militant group Hezbollah wasn't at the table. Civilians were also impacted by Israel's attacks. NPR's Kat Lonsdorf says there are more than 1 million people displaced by the war. That's about a fifth of the population.
Here in Beirut, there are whole parking lots full of tents and people using the stadium here for shelter or sleeping in schools. Most of those people will not be allowed to return home yet, if ever. Israel has demolished more than 40,000 homes in the south, according to Lebanese officials, taking over whole villages to create what it calls a security buffer zone to keep Hezbollah from firing rockets into Israel.
NPR's Kat Lonsdorf in Beirut. Agency heads from the Department of Homeland Security were on Capitol Hill today making the case for their 2027 budget requests. This even as DHS is still without regular funding for this year amid a record two-month partial shutdown. NPR's Sam Greenglass has more.
The House has yet to vote on a Senate-passed measure that would fund DHS through September, except for Immigration and Customs Enforcement and Border Patrol. Democrats have refused to fund those two agencies without reforming the tactics of their officers, asserting Congress's power of the purse to check the executive branch. Still, President Trump's immigration crackdown has continued thanks to $75 billion Republicans in Congress approved for ICE last year. Republicans now plan to fund ICE and Border Patrol through a similar party-line maneuver that would circumvent Democrats and the normal appropriations process, not just for this year or next year, but through the end of President Trump's term. Sam Greenglass, NPR News, Washington.
A pattern of severe weather has been pounding Michigan for several days. That's led to Governor Gretchen Whitmer declaring a state of emergency in nearly 40% of the state. From member station WCMU, A.J. Jones has more.
Flooding has made many roads and bridges impassable in Michigan's Lower Peninsula. Several dams remain in critical condition amid melting snow and heavy rain, and some communities have been ordered to evacuate. Whitmer says the state is in crisis mode and more help is on the way.
My administration will continue to monitor the situation and work with local communities to get them the resources that they need.
All eyes are on the Sheboygan Dam in the tip of Michigan's Mitt. Crews have placed several large super sack sandbags around the dam, added massive pumps to divert water, and are trying to revive a shuttered hydroelectric plant to save the dam. For NPR News, I'm A.J. Jones in Sheboygan, Michigan.
U.S. futures contracts are trading higher at this hour. You're listening to NPR News. Anna Lilia Mejia, a far-left Democrat who had the endorsement of Senator Bernie Sanders, defeated moderate Republican Joe Hathaway in New Jersey's 11th District. That's according to a race call from the Associated Press. This was a special election to fill the U.S. House seat vacated by New Jersey Governor Mikey Sherrill, a Democrat. Netflix says its co-founder and chairman, Reed Hastings, is stepping down in June. NPR's Mondolito Barco reports the news comes as the streaming company posted a strong earnings report.
In 1997, Reed Hastings co-founded Netflix with Mark Randolph. It began as a scrappy idea to send out movie DVDs by mail in red envelopes to subscribers. Netflix grew to be a global streaming powerhouse, now run by Hastings' successors, Greg Peters and Ted Sarandos.
Reed, thank you for the trust you placed in us.
Thank you.
During a call to reporters, Sarandos praised Hastings' leadership.
You know, Reed is an economist and an engineer in his head, but he's a teacher in his heart. And Reed not only shared the spotlight, a real rarity in Hollywood, by the way, He pushed me into the spotlight and celebrated the wins.
In the process, Hastings defined an entirely new industry. When his term expires in June, he says he'll focus on his philanthropy and other pursuits. Mandalit Del Barco, NPR News.
The number of people filing for jobless benefits last week fell. The Labor Department says unemployment claims were down 11,000 to a seasonally adjusted 207,000. I'm Janine Herbst, and you're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Doris Duke Foundation, which aims to support the well-being of people and the planet for a more creative, equitable, and sustainable future. And listeners like you who donate to this NPR station.
saxophonist Nathan Davis and his quintet with Carmel Jones on trumpet, and a Nathan Davis tune called That KC Thing, which is fitting, as both of them grew up as friends and collaborative musicians in their adolescence in Kansas City, and then both studied music at the University of Kansas, where Nathan became a close friend of Wilt Chamberlain's. This LP, a 1965 recording for MPS Records called The Hip Walk, reissued on vinyl 3 years ago, had Francis Bolland on piano, Jimmy Wood, and Kenny Clark bass and drums. And it opens tonight's Jazz in the Night. It's Thursday night. It is the 9 p.m. hour. It's our weekly all-vinyl show. We've got Thronius Monk with John Coltrane on Riverside Records from 1957. In a bit, we've got pianist Tommy Flanagan and a whole album of Thronius Monk tunes that he did in 1982, I believe. And up next, it's guitarist Jimmy Rainey. Support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from Morning Fog Bakery and Cafe in Lawrence, offering coffee, food, pastries, and more, all made fresh in-house at 2412 Iowa Street. More at morningfogks.com. Here's Jimmy Rainey with a wonderful trio with pianist Tommy Flanagan, bassist George Mraz, an LP called Wisteria, Crisscross Jazz recording from right at the end of 1985, and their version of the standard, I Could Write a Book, here on KPR.